From the studios of WHQR Public Radio in Wilmington, this is Coastline. I'm your host, Rachel Lewis-Hilburn. New Hanover County is seeing a rise in the number of children in need of foster homes. While the reasons for the increase aren't quite clear, public officials are taking another look at services for kids who have been removed from their family homes because of abuse or neglect. There's also legislation on the table that would divert more funding to prevent kids coming out of foster care from heading straight into homelessness. We'll hear about the proposed legislation today, the issues facing kids that wind up in the foster care system, and what it takes to become a foster parent. Joining us in studio today, Liz Kakris-Jones is the district administrator of the 5th Judicial District for Guardian Ad Litem, which oversees volunteers who act as advocates for children in the North Carolina court system. Liz Kakris-Jones, welcome to Coastline.
Happy to be here. Thank you.
Also with us today, Neely Pelling is a social worker with the New Hanover County Department of Social Services. She specializes in foster home licensing and child placement. Neely Pelling, welcome to the program.
Thank you.
If you have a question about foster care or if you have an experience in the foster care system that you'd like to share, give us a call at 910-343-1138. You can also reach us by email at coastline@whqr.org. Neely Pelling, how many kids in New Hanover County are currently in custody of the Department of Social Services right now?
As of April 30th, 2015, we had 352 children in the custody of New Hanover County Department of Social Services.
And what does that mean in terms of where these kids are? Are all of them placed in foster homes?
They're not. They're placed. We have 103 foster homes, and we have, out of the 352 kids, 185 of them are in a licensed foster home. The rest of those kids would be placed with relatives and kinship placements. And a small number of kids, I think there are 30 of them, are in group homes or in an institution or a hospital.
Liz Kakris-Jones, how does Guardian Ad Litem work with the Department of Social Services to help these children?
We're their legal advocates. We're the children's legal advocates. So that means that every court matter that affects the children, we're there representing kind of what they need in terms of their best interest specifically. And so we work very, very closely with the Department of Social Services because the department is their legal guardian. And we are their legal advocate. And so we do a lot of intersecting and work together on that.
And you work with New Hanover County, but Pender County is also part of your district.
That's correct.
So how many kids are you serving?
We serve 404 children as of April 30th also. So obviously the predominance of children we serve are in New Hanover County. It's the larger population center. So.
And Neely Pelling with New Hanover County DSS, you have said that 350 children in the system is a large number for the county. Is that right?
It is. Yes, it is. And we've recently seen an increase. We've had a lot of kids come into custody, I would say, in this year so far since January. Our numbers are up and we, you know, really are trying to get out there and recruit for more foster families so we can keep kids in New Hanover County and they can stay in their same school and, you know, maintain some normalcy.
Liz Kakris-Jones with Guardian Ad Litem, is this something that is unique to New Hanover County, or are you also seeing a spike in the number of kids who need services in Pender County as well?
Well, I'll answer start with, it depends, which is our mantra in our program. So having said that, the change comes more specifically where there's a population center, right? And so Wilmington is our population center for the region. And so people who need services are, there's an influx of them into the Wilmington area, which certainly makes sense that New Hanover County DSS is responding and needing to respond to that need. Having said that, what we have seen in Pender County is it's gone up and it goes down and it goes up and it goes down. So it kind of stays around the same number, but it'll spike and drop. And over time, it looks pretty much like an average stability.
So is population growth part of the reason then for the spike? Are there other reasons, Neely Pelling, for the increase in the number of kids who need services? Or is this just tied to the growth in population here?
I'm really not sure. I'm really not sure what the spike is about. I mean, I don't know if it's the population growth. I really don't know.
Why does a kid come into the system? Why do children become? Why does DSS become the legal guardian of a child? What sends a kid into the system and away from his or her family?
It's due to neglect or abuse by a parent or caretaker.
And how do you find out about that?
What happens is a call comes into the Department of Social Services, and those calls are answered by social workers. And it can be from a concerned citizen, anyone in the community, the school, hospitals, and people report a concern about either neglect or abuse. And they assign that to a social worker that goes out and meets with the family and assesses the situation and tries to work with the family to keep kids in the home, put some services in place to try and let the family remain together. But if that can't happen, and, you know, the most common reasons children come into custody are domestic violence, drug abuse, and mental health issues with the parents. And if it's not safe for the children to stay there, then they are removed. A petition is filed and signed by a judge that gives us custody of the children, and they're placed either at that time with a relative, if they have someone that's appropriate that is in the area where they can go and stay, then we always look to relatives. And if not, then they come into a family foster home.
And how long might a child be in a foster home? Is reunification with the family always the goal, or are there cases when a child is just removed permanently from the family?
I would say it's always the goal. If there's any way that we can get children back home, and there are terrible things that can happen that would eliminate maybe a possible parent forever having reunification, but we would look to the other parent to see if that would be a plan for the child to start either building a relationship with that non-offending parent and going towards a reunification with that non-offending parent. But I would say that it's safe to say that all of the goal is always reunification. It doesn't always happen, but it always starts out as the goal for children to be returned to a birth parent.
And Liz Kakris-Jones, can you tell us what it's like for a child who has come to guardian ad litem and has been assigned a volunteer? What will that child experience with the volunteer through the court system?
Well, keeping in mind that, as Neely pointed out, you know, all the things that have happened before the child's removed from their family. The child is traumatized. The family's in chaos. The child is traumatized. And so then they, you know, if they're with a family member, that's wonderful, that's familiar, that's very helpful in them feeling safe and stable and not having to adjust to a number of new changes. But the volunteer's first and foremost goal is to see the child, see where they are, see where they're living, assess that environment, assess what types of supports and services might be needed around the issues of trauma, and so that we make sure that children get the services that they need. The volunteer then is always visiting the child, talking to the social worker, and then intersecting with our staff in order to present a report to the judge that is on the best interest of the child. And so while Neely's pointed out that the mandate is always, and it's an appropriate mandate, to look at reunification, we look at best interest. That's our mandate. And sometimes we have to weigh that against the mandate of reunification and make possibly different recommendations.
How often does that happen when the recommendation of the social worker or the goal of the social worker for reunification differs from the assessment with guardian ad litem?
It's not that often, really, because it is appropriate for children to go back to their parents if that's possible. So I would say, you know, probably more than 90% of the time, if we're working really hard together and sharing all the information we have, we come to very similar conclusions. Sometimes our differences are a matter of degree. Things like, should a child go home or to one of a number of relatives? We might pick one. They might pick another. Might be how quickly the child returns to a parent. we might want to have that happen either sooner or later than the department. We might be looking at different factors with regard to siblings. Things like that might weigh in on why we would differ. It's rare, very rare, that we would be completely divergent.
Can you think of a circumstance when that's happened? And what? And I certainly realize that these are confidential circumstances, but can you describe sort of the general situation?
So I can give you a general in the sense that I don't want to speak too much in jargon. So there are things that can happen along the way for a child, and we are involved for usually a couple of years, 1 to 2 years typically, before the family can correct what's happening if they're doing everything they need to do. And along the way, we're looking at a kind of a alternate plan if parents don't do what they need. So one of the options 2 years in might be a termination of parental rights and adoption for that child as opposed to a family member. And what might be on the table in terms of discussion is there a family member that should adopt? Is there a foster parent that should adopt? Is there, you know, looking at that? And we might have different ideas about who is the best choice for adoption, and that could be a major difference.
And so the guardian ad litem volunteer has quite a bit of influence then in the outcome for a child.
Yes, yes. We are a party at the table. The department is a party. We are a party. We represent the child's interest, and then the parents are a party.
And is there ever a conflict between, and we're going to go to break in just a second, and maybe we can come back and answer this, but between someone who's a professional social worker versus someone who's just a volunteer and has that sort of the volunteer authority?
What's the question? Is there a conflict?
Yeah. I mean, you're talking about sort of a professional perspective versus, right. And I'm getting the wrap up from our producer, but we will come back in just a moment. You're listening to Coastline on 91.3 FM, talking about children in custody at New Hanover County's Department of Social Services. This is Coastline.